What
a blessing that song is and was to me as I sang that. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Do we understand those words? I had to think as we were singing that song that on a branding iron, most of us are very acquainted with what a branding iron is, and we know that there's pain involved whenever there's a stamp put on a cow or a calf with a branding iron. There's pain involved. And I would dare to say this morning that if Jesus stamps his name in our hearts, there's going to be pain involved. And so that's not what I desire to share on this morning is pain. However, the Christian journey has a lot of pain involved. And when we think about what Brother Levi shared this morning, I was so blessed with that devotional, Levi, Beautiful Ashes. And what I want to share today, the burden on my heart, has to do with that journey. How do we go from ashes to beauty? How do we get from our own beauty, what we see as beauty, to ashes, and then from there to God's beauty? So that's what I want to talk about a bit this morning. First of all, I would desire to have a word of prayer this morning. Before we begin this message, I have some thoughts here written down. But this past week, I've just been pondering and praying, and there's a lot been going on this past week. A lot of things happened. And it's kind of easy to get wrapped up in work and everything else instead of what we should be doing, and that's preparing our hearts either to share or to receive, or both. And so I have a desire this morning that I could be emptied of self and full of God's Spirit, that whatever is said or shared here today could be a blessing, could move hearts, could stir us up, because if we're not moved today by God, by the Holy Spirit, we're just here in a building passing around knowledge and things, hearing good things, and it will not make an everlasting impact on our lives. And so let's do that. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, my desire here this morning is, God, most of all, that you would be lifted up and not myself. Father, may you come here now at this moment, in the next few moments here. Lord, take my words, take my thoughts, take them way further than what I can imagine, Father. Lord, may you move us, stir our hearts, Lord. Open the windows of heaven, pour out your blessings upon us today, Father. Lord, help us that we would be convicted in areas we need to be convicted, that we would be encouraged, inspired. Just have your way in our lives, Father. Thank you for what you have done in our lives, what you will be doing, Father. Lord, be merciful as you take those ashes and you make beauty out of them, Lord. Sometimes we face things in life that are very painful. And Lord, may you help us to embrace pain and not run from it. And Lord, even today, may you help me that I would be willing to share whatever you put on my heart, Lord. And then most of all, I wouldn't try to lift myself up here, but God, that I would lift your name high. Because Lord, you're the only one that is deserving of our praise and our worship here today. So Lord, I pray for different ones, maybe even listening in. I pray for Susie as she's at home, maybe suffering pain. May you bless her, be with her, encourage her heart today, Lord, and everyone that is present. Father, may we be fed through your word today. We just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be reading in Genesis chapter 22 here this morning. When I think about the journey from ashes to beauty, there's one aspect of that I want to talk here today about, and that is faith. I have shared before a message, Faith, the Faith of Rahab, I think it was titled. This morning I want to talk about another one that is actually considered the father of our faith and the journey that he was on. And when you consider his journey and you hold it beside your journey and the story that is being written in your lives, I think there is a lot of similarities to what we face even today. The very first man that I believe was mentioned in the Old Testament that had faith was Noah, I think Noah is mentioned in Hebrews 11 as the first one that of fathers of our faith. But then the one I want to talk about today is Abraham. And I have just been very blessed and inspired and encouraged by Abraham's life as I studied on him recently on just the faithfulness of Abraham. And I think we could say there's three different aspects of faith. Maybe a lot more than that, but there's a saving faith, there's a persevering faith, and then there is an overcoming faith. And I think there's probably other things you could put in there. First of all, we want to take a look at Abraham's life. I think he demonstrates a saving faith through obedience. And so let's start reading here in Genesis 22. We'll see where the Lord takes this. Pray for me as I try to keep my thoughts somewhat straight here. In Genesis 22, chapter 22, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And I'm going to be reading in a New King James Version, so you might not be quite able to follow. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Keep that in mind as we continue reading here, as I shall tell you. In verse 3, So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. The first thing I want to point out here in Abraham's faith is somehow he had learned in his short journey to take God at his word. Whatever God said, Abraham as good as said, yes, I will. What is our response? What would our response have been to God's command or God, what God asked Abraham to do here? If you think about your life and who you are, how you respond to life, how we respond to issues, rejection, whatever it may be in life, what would our response have been to the Lord when he asked Abraham such a hard thing? Now, we may sit here like I do a lot of times. I sit and I listen to these stories and I think, well, that was really good. And we know the outcome of the story, okay? Abraham did not know the outcome of this. There was a lot of things. The first thing we read about Abraham is back in, I believe in chapter 12. Yes, the first thing we read about Abraham is this. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And it goes on there. That's the first thing we read about Abraham. Get thee out of thy country. Is there any similarities in your life here? Has God asked you or me to do anything that felt like, you know, Abraham was 99 years old at this point. I don't know what his life consists of up until then, but this is the first we read of Abraham. And I just had to think, when I ponder over his life, his responses to the Lord as he called him, are those my responses today? Get thee out of thy country, away from thy family, go to, and you can put your experience, your past journey in this and just ponder over it. How have we dealt with it? How have I responded to these hard things that the Lord has asked me? Do we even believe that God has asked us to do these things? Or was this part of our choices? And so, back to Genesis 22 here. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and away they went. I shall tell you. Okay, so what I wanted to point out there was that comment was, Abraham, when God asked him to leave with his son, he didn't tell him where to go, did he? It just said, "Where I will tell you where to go." And then the next thing we read here is when Abraham saw the place. My point is this. When God asks us to do something like he did Abraham, he will go with us. Do you think Abraham just went and guessed where this mountain was? No. Obviously, there was interaction along the way. And I'm sure Abraham, it looks like Abraham promptly obeyed, and he did. He got up and he left. He did exactly what the Lord asked him here. But I am sure it was not without a lot of questions and fears and tears that Abraham went on this journey. But do we see how God must have been with him every step of the way as he went 3 days' journey with his men? I don't know how many men there were. And his son, do you think his son asked any questions along the way? Do our children ever ask us questions along this journey of life? We're not quite sure what to tell them. Or do we always have the answers? Did Abraham give his son, Isaac, just some pat answer when he asked him, Daddy, where are we going? I have to reflect over my own life and ask myself the question, how do I deal with life's challenges in front of my children? What do they perceive from me? Let's continue reading here in verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. We'll stop reading there. Hopefully towards the end of the message, we'll come back and continue reading on down a bit. What made Abraham obey God after all that he had went through to get Isaac? And I'm not going to take time to go back here, but there's chapters that lead up to this. The first thing, like I said earlier, was get out of thy country. That's the first thing God asked of Abraham, was leave thy country, come follow me, basically. Does that sound familiar by chance? Does it sound familiar that the journey of life with Christ means leaving and cleaving? Maybe it's kind of similar to marriage. Is there any kind of similarities here to our past experience, our experience in walking with the Lord? Get ye out of thy country, out of thy comfort zone, out of the things that are familiar to you, out of the things that are so near and dear to you, and follow me. And then God gave him promises. He said, I will bless thee. I will give you a son. I will make the nations. And we know the story, how that goes. And then the way that Abraham walked with the Lord, struggled along the journey, obviously. And then when Isaac was born, finally, after Abraham and his family, his wife, Sarah, tried to do it their own way, Isaac was finally born. And then there was a journey with that whole thing. And now one of the first things God asked Abraham was, go ahead and offer your son as a burnt offering. And when we think about that, I thought about picking on someone here. But let's just consider our own families, our own lives. Do we love our sons? Do us as fathers love our sons? I think we do. What if God would ask us to sacrifice one of them? What if God asks us something very difficult in our lives? How do we respond? Do we respond as Abraham did? What if we wouldn't be able to have children, and they were 99, I believe Sarah was 90 years old, and Abraham was 99, when the angels came to them and said, you will have a son. And what did Sarah do? She laughed, and so did Abraham. Abraham laughed when God first told him, because it was not possible. In human mind, it was not possible. And I believe that is how life is a lot of times today, is it's not humanly possible for some of the things that God asks us, and that's true. And that's why we need faith. Without faith, in Hebrews 11, it says it is impossible to please God. And so it doesn't say it is hard. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. Because the journey, like Abraham's journey, he didn't know what lies ahead, but he obeyed. Faith in obedience. I'm sure a lot of times when Abraham was asked from God to do something, it looked very impossible to him. He did not know the outcome. Because of his prompt obedience, Abraham became the father of faith. And he's mentioned throughout the Bible as someone that we can follow. And not that he's our God, but a very good example for us how to respond to life's challenges as the Lord hands them to us, asks us to do things. One of a good quote from John Calvin that I love on faith is, when I took the leap, I had faith. When I took the leap, I had faith I would find a net, basically a net to catch me. Instead, I learned I could fly. And ain't that how life is a lot of times when God asks us to do something? When we face hard things in life, hard decisions in life, it looks so impossible to us. And a lot of times we wrestle with the idea, we wrestle with the calling, we wrestle with the situation or the circumstances in front of us until we're tired and wore out. And finally we say, okay, it's either jump or die right here. And we jump only to realize that we can fly. God is there with us. Just like he went with Abraham, he said, I will show you. And I am sure that Abraham talked with God along the way, and God kept being there for Abraham every step of the way. It looks to me, or to us, like Abraham just off he went, 3 days journey, and ended up up on the mountain and was ready to obey God. That's what it looks like. But we're just reading part of the story. As it indicates here that God was along the way, also there must have been other things not written here that God went along with Abraham and encouraged him along the way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Is God asking us anything today to sacrifice, anything today that could be our Isaac? What might be my Isaac that I need to sacrifice today? Is there something in my life that God is asking me to hand over to him, and I have a very difficult time to give it up? And I have quite a few points here. I thought I was going to write them on the board. I don't think I will. But I have probably around 12 things here that we want to kind of go over and see what kind of lessons we can glean from this. Things that might be our Isaac. Things that might be things in our life that after we get converted, God might ask me to give this up. And it might be something God promised me. It might look like something that God promised me. He gave me this. He finally gave me a son. Maybe he finally opened the doors for a business opportunity. Maybe he finally opened the doors for, you can put anything in there you want. And then all of a sudden, it looks like God is asking me to give it up. And I have heard a lot of people's testimony where there was just that in their journey when God writes their story, is he finally gave them what they wanted, where they were at, finally gave them their Isaac, and then he turns around and asks them to take it up on the mount and sacrifice it. And how can this be from the Lord? And that is why when COVID hit, we started seeing all kinds of yard signs that said, what? Faith over what? Fear. Amen. Faith over fear. I would like to suggest this morning that one of our biggest things in life that we battle with is faith over feelings. When we are a people made with feelings, and a lot of times I believe we let our feelings make our decisions or rule our choices rather than faith. If God asks us to do something, can we lay down our feelings? Can we just go on in faith and follow Him? Or are we stuck in our feelings trying to figure it out? I'm sure that just like Abraham, as God asking him to sacrifice his son, I'm sure it wasn't easy. And do you think Abraham had any kind of feelings to go with that? I'm sure he did. He was a man like me and you, and I'm sure there was a lot of feelings that went with that calling. Just go ahead and bring your son, the one that you waited on, the one that he went through a lot of pain to get. I should probably take the time to just read the story of how Isaac finally was born to them after they had tried in their own strengths, in their own way of thinking, to make these promises come about. And thus was Ishmael born into their family. And at the end of this message, if the Lord tarry here, I will come back to that then. One of the first things, it might be something God promised to you. In Genesis 17, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. This was before God asked Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain. There was a lot of promises to Sarah and Abraham before God asked them to take him up on the mountain. And there was a lot of things that went along with this. There was a journey that led up to this. And finally, they had received their promise that God had promised them. What about us? Is God promising us things? Has he promised us things that have now finally came to pass? And now all of a sudden he's asking you to even give that up? Can that be? Is this of God or is this of the devil? How many times have we asked that question? What if God asked Abraham to take his son up and offer him there? Do you think that Abraham might have wondered, who is this talking? What am I hearing? This cannot be. This, to go and take this promised son that you gave me and actually go up and offer him as a burnt offering. Do you think that Abraham might have wondered who's talking to him? I'm sure Abraham had feelings that went with that. He didn't just not think about the past and what led up to that, but obviously he had to think back over how Isaac was given to them as a promise, and who is now asking me to take him up on the mountain. Is God asking me or you to give something up that looked like a promise and we don't understand it? Can we respond as Abraham did? Can we just go? Can we just take that thing, go up on the mountain with it? Abraham didn't know for sure that Isaac was going to come back. I mean, you can read here that obviously Abraham had faith. You can't read that he even connected with Sarah before they left. And did he or didn't he? I don't know. But in any case, Abraham went on his way and obeyed God. And Isaac came back off of the mountain. And what did God tell Abraham after he was up there, after he stopped him with a knife? What did God tell Abraham? Does anyone know? One of the first things he, what was that? Sorry. Amen. Now I know that thou lovest me. Let me just find that quick here. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is set to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. I'm sorry, I'm not finding what I was looking for there. Oh, yes. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What might God be asking you today to sacrifice or to let go of. And then you might hear those same words, "Now I know that you love me more than you love your reputation, than you love your family, than you love," you can put in there whatever you want. We are very acquainted with a journey, a story. We started out about, I would say maybe 5 years ago, on our journey when we finally handed the Lord an empty piece of paper and said, "Here, write my story." And we stopped trying to write that story by going our own way. And I will say that we're acquainted with griefs, pains, rejection, and all kinds of things that comes along with that journey. Just like Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country." When did you hear that in your life, or have you heard that already? Have you said amen to that question, question that the Lord asks you? "Get thee out of thy country." Have you started out, or are you still sitting somewhere wondering if it's safe or not? I would like to encourage you or us this morning that if God is asking us to leave our country, leave whatever it may be, it is safe to do so. And when God asks us to do something, it is very clear. Like asking Abraham to take his son up on the mountain. Abraham didn't stick around and fast and pray for 2 or 3 weeks until he finally decided that must be the Lord. Now, I'm not saying, I believe in our day it's very practical to do that. Sometimes because of all the different voices and different things that around us, I believe that a lot of times it's very good for us if we feel like God is asking us to do something or to sacrifice something. Maybe I shouldn't say sacrifice, because I think sacrifice is something none of us likes to do. We live in a day and age where we're not easy to give in or give up. We're not easy to let go. We're not easy to accept something for nothing. We're not easy to accept the hard road, the low road, because there's all these other options available. You can be a Christian. You don't have to sacrifice anything. You don't have to sacrifice your Isaac. Just tell God that I would go. If you'd ask me to sacrifice my Isaac, I would go. Just tell him that. And that's good enough. I believe that still today, like back in Abraham's time, that God will ask us to sacrifice something, let go of something, simply because he wants to see if we love him more than we love ourselves. And it might be something that's perfectly fine. It might be something that another brother has that I can't have. God is asking me to give it up. It might be something that we work really hard for as a family, as an individual. You might have worked really hard for this thing or where you're at or this accomplishment in life, whatever it may be, and God's asking you to give it up. Can I encourage you this morning? Just give it up. Just take it up on the mountain. It might not come back with you, and it might. But God wants to see us put our faith in action. We want to sit around and tell God all these glorious things about how we love him and how we will do anything he asks us. But then when he asks us to do something hard, we crumble. And I'm talking to my own heart here this morning. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone here. This has just been a journey in our own lives and experiences we've faced up with. Is I sit around trying to convince the Lord that I have big faith and I love him a lot. But when he asks me to do something, how do I respond? When he asks me to give something up, how do I respond? The first point here is myself. Myself might be the Isaac that God is asking me to take up on the mountain. Early Christians and people in the martyr's mirror gave their life because of their faith. How much do we try to even protect our reputation? When Levi was talking this morning about the ashes here, I was reading in the martyr's mirror recently of several 14, 15, and 16-year-old boys and girls that gave up their lives for their faith. They were led out to a burning stake. They were drug out it was gruesome ways they were killed for their faith. And we can maybe kind of imagine a 50 and 60-year-old do that. But 14 and 15-year-old boys and girls are giving up their lives for their faith. Do we have a faith like that amongst us today? Do I have a faith that would be strong enough to give my life, not only my reputation, but my life for my Lord? Do we have that faith amongst us today? I'm very challenged by that thought. When I see young brothers and sisters being let, giving their lives, not just their reputation, their home country, their family, but their own lives for the Lord Jesus, would we do that? Would I do that? The first thing we read about Abraham is the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. I had already went over that. That's the point on my life. Well, how about my fears? Psalm 34 says, I thought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When we seek the Lord, when we seek to serve God, all of us have fears. Maybe I'm going out of my place here to say that. I would maybe like to say, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't have fears, you can raise your hand and I'll trade positions with you here and you can go on. All of us have some sort of fears. If we have no fears about life, I believe that some of us have fears that, well, maybe I can say it this way. When we're thinking about reputation, do we have fears about what other people think of us? Do we have fears about trying to measure up with a certain brother or sister in the church? Do we have fears about what might happen to us in the future if we do or don't do this or that? Do we have fears about our future? What might happen? What might God ask me to do? What might God not let me do? And all those different things. Those are fears that we face, very real fears in our life. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. We need to get this. This was such a blessing to me when I read this. This is from Oswald Chambers. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Is that possible? Have we experienced that in our lives? Have we experienced that once we've got a hold of the fear of God, we wrestled through something? Maybe God asked us to take an Isaac up on the mountain and we wrestled with it and finally got to a place where we just said, yes, Lord, I give it up, all of it. I just give it all up. And the peace that you experience at such a moment is such refreshment, just a blessing to be able to just say, yes, Lord, and all the fears that you were wrestling with just all of a sudden go away. It's replaced by the fear of God. When we fear God more than we do ourselves and other people or things, just like it says here, all other fears go away when we fear the Lord. Now, they tend to come back a lot of times when we're not walking with the Lord, when we're not going up the mountain with whatever he's asking us, when we're sitting around, we go round and round. All of a sudden, we kind of get peace about what we think we should do. But then, because of our fears, because of our selfishness, or whatever it may be, we say, okay, we're going to put one more fleas out. And then, in the meantime, we get fearful again because we let our minds and our thoughts go. Anyways, we need to continue here. Another one is my abilities. What about my abilities? Do I have the ability to make everything happen in life? Do I have the abilities to talk my way out of things, talk my way into things? What about my abilities? Are they on the cross? Are they on the altar? Have I ever went up on a mountain with my abilities? Or am I still able to make things work out the way I want them to? What about my knowledge? Do I have knowledge that I wish everyone else would have? Do I have knowledge that I think the Lord could use? Do I have things to offer? Second Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is where our knowledge needs to go. Whatever my knowledge, whatever my experience, it needs to be brought under. It needs to be brought into obedience with whatever Christ asks us to do. How about my dares? Did I grow up as a daring person? Do I have a lot of strengths? Do I dare to do this? I dare to do that? I dare to do whatever I need to do? I get a big thrill out of being a daring person. Have I ever taken those dares up on the mountain and left them there? For the sake of Christ's kingdom, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my brothers and sisters, have I left my dares on the altar? I don't do the things I used to do because I don't want to put other people into that kind of position or danger. These are just things that I've experienced in my own life, things that I had to lay down for the sake of Christ and walking with Him and going on the journey as Abraham did. My reputation, we have talked about that a little bit, but I think we should probably have a whole message on the reputation, our reputation, and what it will do for us and not do for us. My reputation, Abraham, I'm sure that he was a man like me and you that had a reputation. At 99 years old, obviously he had experiences already. He had went through some things. After God asked him to get out of his country, Lot went with him. And there was, we know the story of Lot. This all happened. Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, all that happened from the time he left his country until he went up on the mountain with Isaac. That all happened in that time span. Do you think that Abraham had any type or any kind of temptation to say, look at what I can do? I saved Lot. I was the one that interceded for Lot there, and God didn't go and destroy Lot because of me. Do you think Abraham had any kind of temptation to build his own reputation? I think he did. I think he did. But the journey that God took him on and the journey that God will take you on if you let him, or if I let him, will take care of that reputation. Because God wants to know more than my lip service. God wants to know that I love him more than myself. He will ask me and you to do things to get rid of that reputation that feels not good at all. And one of those things, I believe, is family. God knows where we, a lot of times, family is one of the hardest things that we have to give up when we go on a journey. And we let God write our story, like Levi said this morning. For the sake of family and my reputation and rejection and all the things that come with that, we wrestle to follow the Lord. We wrestle to go up the mountain because we don't want to go there. Kind of like Jacob, when he was on his way back to try to make peace with his family. God did things with Jacob that I think he wants to do and will do to all of us. And if we leave our country and our family like Abraham did, I think by the time we get back to our families, we'll be limping like Jacob was. God will ask us, and he will break our hearts and our lives, our reputations, to the point where we come back to our families with a limp. We don't have everything together anymore like we had when we left. We are not talking about all these, you know, spiritual things, and I think we should be, but we're talking about it in a different way. We don't come back with all the answers. We come back with a limp when we come back off of the mountain. We don't come back off with a proud and haughty spirit. Look at me. Look at what I gave up. I can make this. I can leave my family. I can leave the Amish. I can leave this and that. Look at me. That's not the way we'll come back. And we won't come back trying to convert everybody else and telling them how they need to go on the same journey up that mountain like we did. But I think we'll come back with a humble and a broken spirit, with a limp in our sight, that they will be more convinced than ever that something happened to me. Something happened to him. Something is different about him. It's not just his speech. He's got a limp. There's something different about him when he comes back off of that mountain. Our reputation needs to go. I remember when God first asked us to get out of the country, and leave our family. That was one of the hardest things. Maybe I should say the hardest thing to give up was my reputation. I thought I had a good reputation, and God wanted me to take that up on the mountain. And I wrestled so hard with that. I thought every way possible to go up the mountain with a approval from God that I would also be able to come back off of the mountain with everything I took up. And one of those things was my business, my family. There's just a lot of things that God will ask you to take up. And I wanted to not go up until God somehow showed me that I could bring most of it back down again. And I would like to say that don't go up the mountain until you're ready to leave everything there. You will make it a very miserable journey. You will make it very hard for not only you, but those around you. If you try to go up the mountain with hopes that you will bring most of it back again, God will somehow let you keep most of what you already have. And I would dare say that there's a lot of people still sitting around today waiting to go up the mountain until they have confidence or assurance that when I make this choice, when I make this decision to leave, go out of my country, that I will be able to stay in the same church. I will be able to stay living right here. I won't have to move. I won't have to do this and that. And I'm just pointing these things out because I think we're very well acquainted with some of these things. When we say, yes, Lord, we will go up the mountain, we're going to be willing to leave everything. And I kind of struggle to go to that scripture sometimes, but it is scripture. It says, father, mother, brother or sister, anything, we will give it up for the Lord. And it is a blessing when we go up the mountain, we come back down, and our parents are there to greet us, take us in with open arms, love us just like they did before. But we are promised that it's not going to be that way for all of us. Some of us will go up the mountain, come back down, and our family will be scattered. They will be scared of us. They will not come to see you anymore. They will not call you. Your friends will not be there when you get back off of that mountain. Some of them will, maybe. They're there to be curious how you look when you come back off of that mountain. They don't really care about what you feel, but they do wonder how you look. And can we come back off of the mountain with a spirit and an attitude that they just struck them in a way that, how we've heard before, there was something different about him. I heard that he was deceived and he was out of his mind. I just heard that recently where somebody was supposedly out of his mind because he was leaving a certain church. And so one of the people there in the congregation went over to meet him and just see, like, is he really actually losing it? Is he out of his mind? And so he went over there, and I think by the end of it, he ended up getting converted himself. And that's the story. That's what God will do with you. If you go up the mountain and you come back down with a limp and you left everything for the sake of Christ, my business, my plans, my friends, my family, do we trust the Lord with our children as Abraham did? Abraham took his only son, through his promised son, he had two, but he took him and he offered him to the Lord and said, here you go. How many times has us as parents wrestled with making a certain decision or choice because of the fear of our family? What will happen to our family? And I believe that is a really good thing to consider. I'm not saying that we should casually make decisions and figure that God will take care of our family. But I just wanted us to see here that when we follow the Lord, when we go up the mountain, God will take care of our children. He cares about our children more than we do. He cared about Isaac. Isaac wasn't one that wasn't just another number in God's pew. God had promised him, and he had very special interest in Isaac, just as he does in you and your children. And when we say yes, Lord, to whatever he's asking us to do, wherever he's asking us to go. Maybe he's asking us to leave our country, leave our church, leave our family, whatever it might be. You need to do that. Just follow the Lord, and he will guide your steps. He will protect your family. I remember when we first left, I struggle to say this way, but when we first left the Amish church, that was one of the big things that I struggled with, was what about my children? What about my family? I had what felt like such a safe place for my family to be. And now I'm just taking them out here up the mountain where, how do we know that, you know, there's dangers along this way. How can I take my family up this mountain where I don't know for sure if we're all going to come back? It'd be a lot safer to just go over here where we've always been, what's, normal for us, what feels good to us, and that's where we need to raise our family. But God asked us to take our family and go up the mountain. And we said, yes, Lord. And back to when we first left, some of the fears. I remember sitting in church and just wrestling with that thought. God, what about my children? I don't want to just take my children out and offer them up to the world. And I don't think anybody here this morning has that heart that they're just going to offer their children up to the world. We care about our families, and we should care about them. But I would wrestle around trying to figure out how could I make a decision that would protect my family, that would somehow promise or be a security for me and my family for 80 years or until the Lord comes back. And I remember just getting all tore up in fear and torment about this thing. Because the way that God was asking us to go surely didn't look very safe to me. It surely didn't look very wise to me to take Isaac up on the mountain and kill him after God had promised us so much. But the comforting thought that finally the Lord would always give me is, give me your family. Give me your children, and I will take care of them. If you try to protect your family and your children, you will make a mess out of it. But you give them to me. Take them up on the altar. Take them up the mountain, and I will take care of them. And we're here to say that we have been very blessed, but yet we're not through. We're just begun on the journey. This should be a message for Levi, not myself. But I just want to encourage us as families, as mom and dads, offer your family, offer your children, take them up on the mountain. Offer them up to the Lord. He will take care of them. He was the one that made them. He was the one that gave them to you. He has plans for them, like Levi shared this morning, beauty for ashes. Let the Lord take your family, your life, your children, your everything, and make a beautiful thing out of them. If we try to do it, if we try to paint a picture for God, I don't have to explain much further on that. It'll be a mess. It'll be a picture. It'll be something, but it'll be a mess. My hobbies, my hopes, dreams, and goals, my religion. Paul said in Acts 26, verse 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our own fathers. I was just so blessed by Paul's testimony here in front of Festus, or one of those that he was in front of when he gave this, that as far as religion goes, I was among the most straightest. I was probably the most thought after. We had things together. We were part of a sect where finally had arrived at somehow the center of God's eye. And if you stay here, you will be blessed. And Paul was just telling him that as far as religion goes, I used to have everything together. Does that sound familiar to any of us? When it comes to religion, we had everything together. We were part of a people that somehow just about can't fail. The only way you can fail is if you leave us. Well, Paul was telling him that now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. And that father, that promise that was made unto Abraham is still our promise today. Come, follow me, and you will be blessed. Now, if you stay there and try to make your own life work out, make things work out according to your will, according to what you think is good, you will make a mess. I will make a mess. But give your life, give your hopes, your dreams, your goals, your everything to the Lord. Go up the mountain with him, and you will be blessed. My way of doing things, my church. How many of us here at one point said we would never leave a certain church? I think most of us here, if I would ask, I think most of us would probably say that we at one point said that I would never. I remember I did. I would never leave this certain church or that certain church. Do you think Abraham had any kind of those kind of things in his heart? 99 years old? I'm sure he didn't just hoe the garden every day. I'm sure he was a man just like me and you. He had fears. He had dreams. He had goals. He probably had some of those vows. I would never. And God said, get ye out of your country and follow me. Is God asking us that today? Charles Spurgeon has a really good quote here that I'm blessed with. He says, it is not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of him upon whom you rely. Christ is able to save you if you come to him. Be your faith weak or be it strong. So it's not in how much faith we can drum up, but it's who our faith is on. And I think a lot of times we try to wait to do something until we feel like we've got the courage. We can now do this. We can make this. But let's remember, it's not how much faith I can drum up, but it's where our faith is in. That's what's going to take us through. And I like that quote. I can't quite get it together, but it says something like, faith doesn't make our circumstances less, but it makes them possible. Something like that. And I'm blessed by that thought. We like to think that faith moves mountains. If I have enough faith, this whole thing will go away and we can keep on going. The Lord wants to help us climb that mountain. He wants to help us go over whatever or under whatever we're facing. He can do that. He can go with us. He will go with us up the mountain. Like he did Abraham, he will go with us. My childhood, there's just a lot more that we could make a list of. Things that maybe are our Isaac and we need to put them on the altar and let go of them. And the reason I say childhood is there was a long time that I struggled with letting go of memories. The direction we were going and the things that it seemed like God was asking me, let me right away from all my familiarities, all my experiences, all my memories, all the things that were so, we enjoyed doing. And it seemed like God was leading us away from those. The people that we always had the most fun with, all of a sudden, if you go up the mountain, we will not be here when you get back. That promise was one thing for sure, is when you get back from that journey, we will not be here. If you make that step, if you leave this church, if you do this or if you do that, we will not. And I would like to say, let's not be intimidated by that. Let's go up the mountain, even if people say that. Even if our best friends promise to reject us, let's go up that mountain. Because that is where the peace, that is where in obedience to God's word, faith, that's where peace and rest lies, not in and making sure we don't lose anything along the way. There's a song that I was hoping to sing at the end here. There's a few things I wanted to do at the end, but that clock kind of got away from us here. One thing I wanted to expound on yet on Abraham's journey, it said, What did they call the mountain? The Lord will provide. As it is set to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And at the end of Abraham's life, who buried Abraham? Abraham went through so much. He went through all the pains and grief of his sons. It was a very painful thing also for Abraham to let Hagar and Ishmael go away like Sarah wanted them to. If you read that, that really grieved Abraham's heart because it was one of his sons, just like Isaac. And they said, God told him, do just what Sarah said, sent them out, sent them away. Basically, I will take care of them. Just let him go, let them go. And he did. At the end of Abraham's life, when he died at 175 years old or something like that, when he died, Isaac and Ishmael buried him. I found that such a blessing. Just the journey of dear Abraham, all the things he went through, all the hardships, all the griefs, he had a family that stood with him during this time. He had a lot of heartaches, but at the end of life, he died and his two sons buried him. Praise the Lord. That's what I said. Such a beautiful story, and I know I did not do justice on Abraham's life. I kind of shredded and tore it up here a bit. But maybe, hopefully, we gleaned a little something from the message today. Let's take whatever Isaac God is asking you today, let's go up the mountain with that. And not expect to bring it back down. 908 in your hymn books, song number 908 talks about face of our fathers. I would like to sing that song in closing. In fact, I would like for you all to sing that with me in closing. It's song number 908. It's face of our fathers, and let me just read a few of them here. It says, face of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy when ere we hear that glorious word, faith of our fathers. Is that us? Can we say that? When we hear about the stories of old, Abraham, and there's so many of them that we could mention. There was Jacob, there was Job, there was Noah, there was Peter, there was, we can go on and on of fathers of old that had tremendous faith. And does our heart burn or leap with joy when we hear their names and we see what they went through? The martyrs' merit is a different stories. And in verse 2, it says, our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. That was their testimony. Face of our fathers, we will strive to win our neighbors unto thee and through the truth that comes from God, believing they shall then be free. They shall then be free. Face of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe, and all our strife, and preach thee too, as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Face of our fathers, holy face, we will be true to thee till death. Let that be our testimony as we sing this song. I am not sure how to do this. Would you lead this for us, Brian? Okay. Yeah, let's do that. God bless you. May the Lord be with us this next week and help us have faith like Abraham did.